Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Decisions, especially very important decisions, are not easily made. We know that. We understand when someone says, "I'm just really having a hard time making up my mind about this." Usually that means that that person is trying to work out in their mind or in their heart all the facts, get all the data, and then come up with the right conclusions or make the right decision. The disciples that we read about in today's gospel reading were also making decisions. Individually, they each had a decision to make. It was a decision that affected their spiritual life and their eternal welfare. Because you and I are also concerned about our spiritual and eternal welfare, it's important for us to look carefully at the facts presented for us this morning in this Word of God from the Bible. We don't know how many people were among that group of disciples that Jesus was talking to in this reading before us today. Those who were grumbling about the message that they had just heard him, and those who eventually would turn away from Jesus and stop following him. They were people who had listened to Jesus present the message of salvation, who had listened to Jesus say that he is the one who came down from heaven. In the preceding verses, just before our reading, Jesus says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Jesus was referring to the miracle of the incarnation, the truth that he is the Son of God who took on human flesh and blood so that he could be the Savior of the whole world. He had taken the form of a mortal human being in order to pour out his lifeblood for the salvation of all people of the world. Those who heard these words of Jesus responded, "This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it or who can accept it?" Perhaps our first reaction to these words of Jesus is very similar to the reaction of those people. We may agree that it's difficult to understand exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But what follows in the verses that we read demonstrates that understanding wasn't really the problem for the people there that day. Slowly, one after another, the people began to realize something else. Jesus' teaching was hard to accept because he was claiming to be the Messiah. And they also realized that they had to respond to this claim that Jesus was making. They had to answer the question for themselves, is Jesus really the Messiah as he claims to be, or isn't he? That meant that they would have to make a decision. It was an either-or situation. As long as Jesus fed thousands of people and performed other miracles that drew the attention of the crowd, they were intrigued by him. As long as they could wonder in their minds how he miraculously got from one side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, to the other without them seeing him, they were going to follow him because they wanted to find out the answer to that mystery. Jesus was unique. He had a new way of presenting things, a new way of teaching. He offered them a change from the rather monotonous life pattern that they had found themselves in. But now Jesus confronted them with a choice. If he really was who he said he was, if the only way to eternal life was to accept him as true God in the flesh, and if they were going to continue to follow him, they were going to have to change a lot of things in their lives. They understood what Jesus was saying, probably far more clearly than they really wanted to understand it. For them, just as for all people who have lived ever since then, the decision that they were making had to be made on the basis of what they knew and understood. There are far more people today who do not follow Jesus because they understand what he is saying rather than because they misunderstand or are confused about what he is saying. Far more people, in fact, have left the church because they understand what is being preached to them than because they are confused about the message of God's word. The disciples who left that day made a decision. Jesus knew what was going on. He knew that some of them were having difficulty deciding. So in order to make it all crystal clear, Jesus presented another situation to them. He said, "What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" What if suddenly Jesus would have opened their minds so that they could see, just as the Apostle John saw from the Isle of Patmos and the things that he recorded in the book of Revelation? Jesus could have done that. He could have revealed those miraculous, those spectacular visions to those people. But instead, he said to them, "My friends, that is not the important thing. My words give life. They are spirit." Jesus knew that a person's faith is fed on more than just miracles. And if a person's faith does depend on wanting to see miracles and seeing special visions revealed from God, that faith is always going to be hungry for more, and it will never be satisfied with what has already been revealed. Jesus offers us not miracles or visions, but he offers us himself. Jesus says to us, "Eat my flesh and never hunger again. Drink from the living water that I give you and never be thirsty again." That is what Jesus came to give. The people heard what Jesus said. They were considering what he said to them. They were in the process of making their decisions, whether to continue following him or not. Finally, Jesus looked at that whole group of disciples there that day, some of whom had probably been walking together with him for quite some time. He knew that some of them would continue to walk with him for a while longer. He knew that one of them even would go all the way to that upper room on the last night before he died. That disciple would still be there, keeping up an appearance before he finally went his own separate way. Jesus knew that some of those there that day were following him for the wrong reasons. He also knew that there was a time coming when they would have to make their own decisions. That decision would either be to turn and go their own way or to trust in him as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and the Lord of their lives. And the Apostle John reports to us in our reading, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. Now, their departure, their turning away from Jesus, was probably not a mass exodus, although we do read that many of them that day did stop following him. But it was also probable that at times in the following days and weeks and months, Jesus would look at that group of people who were following him, and he would notice that there was one more face missing from that crowd. One more person who had simply chosen to go his or her own way. Now, we don't have to go much further in imagining how the people may have left Jesus, do we? Who of us has not noticed that place in the pews in our church where that particular family or individual has always sat, but that seems to have been vacant now for some time? At a ministry council meeting, the question is asked, "Where has so-and-so been lately?" Perhaps you've heard through the grapevine about why a person has stopped coming to join us for worship and hearing God's word, why we no longer see a certain person around. That kind of thing that Jesus confronted in the gospel reading today still goes on today, doesn't it? People make a decision and they decide to go their own way. They reach a point where it's either Jesus and all that he means, or it's taking a path other than the path of discipleship. Now, that other path may not necessarily be a sinful path. It may not appear to be all that bad. It may appear to be a good, clean, and moral path, but it's not a path that's dedicated to the Lord and to His Word. It's not a path that's ready to make the sacrifice and commitments that a life of discipleship, of following Jesus, requires. When the choice is between Jesus and works righteousness or some other system, between Jesus and the popularity of the friends that I run with, between Jesus and the success of my business that might come more easily if I engage in a couple of shady deals, then a decision has to be made. When people seek the pleasures of physical life and excuse themselves by thinking, "Oh, I'm only young once. Who's going to condemn me if I go and sow my wild oats?" Well, then they have come to that point of decision. Regrettably, for so many people in our world today, that decision that they make is to go their own way. Now, there were some, of course, who stayed and continued to follow Jesus. Jesus turned to them and he asked them a question. He said, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" He was asking, "Have I lost my attraction in your eyes also? Are my words falling on deaf ears with you too? Were you also only seeking to have your stomachs filled, to have your intellect entertained and your eyes amazed?" Well, representing all of the other disciples, the Apostle Peter gives this answer. "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." That is a good answer. Actually, that's the only answer that can be given by a disciple of Jesus. You have the words of eternal life. If there was ever a reason for following Jesus, it certainly isn't the popularity, the ease, the pleasures, the social position, or the profit that some may seek in material things. No, we believe in Jesus because he has the words of eternal life. He himself is the word of eternal life. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." But still, decisions are not easy to make. Blaise Pascal, the 17th century French philosopher, hit on a real truth when he said, "Men despise religion. They hate it. They fear it may be true." Many people know what the gospel teaches. They've made a decision. They've reached the point where they realize that Christianity can never be a both and religion. It can never be both the pleasures of this world, of living and looking at things in the way that this world looks at them and having worldly values, and having Jesus as the Lord of your life. It's always a matter of either or. Jesus Christ is either the Lord of your life or he is not Lord at all. That's the same decision that the followers of Jesus made in our gospel reading today. We read that some turned back and were not walking with him anymore. But others, with the Apostle Peter as their spokesman, asked the simple rhetorical question, "Lord, to whom will we go?" They knew the answer. There is no one else. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. Those who by God's grace and by the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts through the Word of God, who stand with the Apostle Peter, have that joy of the assurance of eternal life, life that has already begun in our hearts now and that will continue even beyond the death of our physical bodies. Those who choose to walk the other way will inevitably bear the consequences of that decision sooner or later. Now, I don't know about each of you here today. I can't look into your hearts. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus is just that. It's your relationship and no one else's. But I can tell you this. If you are troubled by being confronted with this decision to follow the call from Jesus that we hear in the gospel, and if some other call than the Lord's is causing you to turn your gaze and to look in another direction, then before you now lies one of the most important decisions that you will ever make. The most important decision. Today, the Lord Jesus looks at you and he says, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" May God grant that by the power of his Holy Spirit working in our hearts through his word, we all will join with the Apostle Peter and answer, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen.